Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. And today over the phone, we are joined by adventure journalist Jim Clash, always traveling around the world. And this past week, he was able to go out and he was able to witness the launch of the NASA Artemis II rocket. Jim, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Aiden, it's always good. You always have good questions.
So yeah, Artemis 2 launching again on April 1st. It was no April Fool's Day joke. However, you and I were talking a little bit beforehand. There was a little stress beforehand on whether or not this launch was actually going to happen.
Well, you know, Artemis has been delayed so many times. This was the first one with humans, four astronauts going around the moon. So it was really important that they get it right. They had launched Artemis 1 a couple years ago, and they learned some things. They didn't have any, blow-ups or anything, but it had to be perfect, and the weather can scrub a launch. A little leak somewhere in the rocket can scrub a launch. So you got to be really careful. And so leading up to it, we had wind during the day, and we were worried that if you have a 35-mile-an-hour gust, they'll scrub it. Any little things, I think there was a malfunction in the button that can blow the rocket up. If, it gets out of control, and of course the astronauts would have gotten off on the capsule and they would have parachuted back to Earth. But yeah, it was tense, and it was a beautiful day, and we're thinking, oh, come on. And we were only delayed 10 minutes. It launched at 6:35 p.m.
So not too bad of a delay, but still enough to kind of put you on the edge of your seat as it's going. Now, one thing I've always been curious about, I've been to the Kennedy Space Center as a visitor. I've seen some of the display rockets they have. Looking at the actual Artemis II as it was standing on the launch pad, how did it compare to kind of those rockets? Was it larger? What kind of visuals were you seeing when you looked at this rocket docked?
Yeah, so number one, they roll it out from that big NASA building, which you've obviously seen. The rocket itself is 325 feet high. It's a little less than the Saturn V, which was what took us to the moon in the 1960s, 70s. So very impressive rocket. You're looking at it, and the only time you can see scale is if there are people near the bottom of it. They go, oh, my God, that thing's huge. So, yeah, it's the second biggest rocket we've ever done. So it's impressive when you look at it compared to the other rockets.
And it's one of those things where let's move to the actual launch now. They finally give the go ahead. You hear the countdown, and all of a sudden the big pillar of flame rises and the rocket is heading into space. What's the emotion like seeing a sight like that?
Well, number one, all the journalists, we were the closest you could get, a little over 3 miles, and everyone started cheering and screaming, and so it took about 17 seconds, I think, for the sound to reach us from the actual rocket. So you saw it light up and then slowly, go up with really, really bright light. I was trying to video it. I think I did an okay job considering it was on a cell phone. But, yeah, and then, boy, you're just screaming and hearing this, and then all of a sudden, boo, you hear the sound of the rocket, and you see it rising, and, it's majestic. And people were quite emotional. I talked to the third in command at NASA, and she cried when it went up.
Now, it's one of those things where it feels like it's definitely, for these NASA employees, a legacy-defining project. Being able to see something like this get into the air, that's something that's going to help define their legacy. I mean, you look at kind of some of the background behind it. This is the first This is one of the first flights in 50 years we've seen go by in a lunar flyby. It's truly incredible what they've been able to do. And compare it to launches from companies like Blue Origin or SpaceX, and I feel like it's different here because it doesn't feel like it's just a PR stunt for their latest IPO release. This feels like something that just people have poured their heart and soul into.
Yeah, well, let's separate SpaceX. They actually do fly to the space station with real astronauts and cargo. When you're talking about Blue Origin, yeah, they're working on a moon rocket, but up until now, they really haven't done anything except these suborbital tourism flights where people get out and call themselves astronauts after 11 minutes of sitting in a, pretty cozy cabin with these tight spacesuits on, that last one with all the women. They're not spacesuits. They're spandex whatever. And if something happens, there's a little pressure leak. They're all dead in 3 seconds when you're up there. So big difference. Suborbital, you go up about, you go into space 300 and some thousand feet, but you're down within 11 minutes. You don't train. You don't wear a spacesuit. They come out calling themselves astronauts. They're not. They're space tourists, and there's nothing wrong with that if you have $1 million to do it. But interestingly, Blue Origin shut that program down now for now because they've got to focus on their moon rocket.
You know, when you see what the competition is doing in the private sector, like you mentioned, SpaceX actually does go to the ISS, and especially with NASA really starting to get back onto the map, you really can't waste a lot of time trying to focus on these space tourism flights, especially if you're trying to compete in what is kind of essentially turning into a privatized space race.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Elon Musk, you have your own opinion about him, but he really did amazing things by, you know, reusing rockets and taking over when the shuttle was shuttered and all that. But I got to say, you know, it's this whole thing about danger. It reminds me of the Titan submersible where everybody saw the brochures and they paid $250,000 to go down, even warned not to do it by experts, and they did it and they all died. I would not get on one of those Blue Origin or Virgin Galactic flights without a spacesuit. I flew in the U-2 up to 73,000, which is nowhere near as high as they go. And if something happened, I had a spacesuit on, but they don't.
It's one of those things where, like you said, you got everything you do, especially in the realm of near orbital travel, is going to be a little dangerous. But sometimes it just stops right before you become an astronaut. You don't have to do any of that training. You don't have to do any of the education that these pilots have to do. Because you look at the roster of this Artemis II, these are some of the best and brightest we have in North America. It's truly an impressive resume for each and every one of them, especially when you combine them and stack them together. This is an incredible group of individuals.
Well, you think about Apollo, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, all those guys. They were incredible pilots, fought in the war. Buzz was shot down. You know, Neil Armstrong was one of the best pilots. So those guys were the best of the best. And I think, you know, going back to the moon, we better have the best of the best because it's not easy.
Now, when you were on the ground at the launch, among other members of the press, what was the general consensus once that rocket launched? What was the feeling in the air once you guys got through the launch and you had a few minutes to kind of comprehend what you just witnessed?
It was, you know, elation, then it was sort of relief that the thing went. Because, you know, a lot of these launches I've gone to, 2 weeks you're sitting down there at the Cape until it finally goes, because anything can scrub it. But, yeah, it was like, okay, we're on our way to the moon. This is cool. You know, I talked to Mark Kelly. He was a three-time shuttle astronaut. He was there. Cyan Proctor, another one of Jared Isaacman's astronauts in Inspiration 4. And they were all elated and excited. There were a lot of people there, Katie Coleman, another astronaut. And everybody was really, really, I guess, stoked is the best word to say.
I can't imagine not being at a space launch and not being stoked. However, when you look at the history of space launches, there are some disasters that do stand out, namely the Challenger explosion. Was there any worry that you were going to see something similar to what we witnessed on that tragic day, or did you feel very confident in what you were going to be able to witness with the Artemis launch?
Honestly, I had a lot of trepidation myself. Because the thing had been delayed so long, there have been so many different manufacturers that produce different parts of the rocket. I'm a risk taker. I wouldn't have gotten on that thing, honestly. But again, you know, these guys thoroughly checked it all out. And we went to the moon, I don't know, 50 years ago. We should have learned something about it by now. But maybe I'm getting older and I'm getting a little more risk-averse, but there was that trepidation. I think a lot of people had it, but they wouldn't talk about it. So right now, they're almost at the moon, I think, and things are going well, so I don't feel that way anymore.
Now, as we know, Jim, you're always on the move. Now that you've witnessed the Artemis launch, what comes next for you? What adventure are you pursuing next?
Well, last night I got to interview Bob Lazar, who's the Area 51 guy that spilled the beans on the UFO reengineering and all that. So that was cool, but I want to go back out Midwest tornado chasing. I saw 7 last year, as I think I told you guys, but I want to get really close to one, so that'll be a good story. I want to take off and land on an aircraft carrier. I haven't done that. I've been supersonic in 8 different planes, but I've never landed or whatever from a carrier. So that's something I'm looking forward to. And someday I would love to go to suborbital space, but with a spacesuit.
Now, if our listeners want to keep up with all your action, Jim, what's the best way they can follow along with all your adventures?
Well, I think that, you know, I have a site at Forbes where all my stories are published, And if you just Google Jim Clash and Forbes, you know, it'll come up, and you can just, I've got hundreds and hundreds of stories there about adventures, about rock and roll stars I've interviewed, interviews I've done with famous adventurers. So, yeah, check it out there.
Jim, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thank you, as always, for taking the time to come talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Aiden. Good luck with everything.
Again, our guest, Jim Clash. We're talking about the Artemis II space launch, traveling around the moon, the first manned lunar mission in 50 years. Truly an incredible sight. For more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.